The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Happy Friday, everyone, and thank you for joining us here once again on Orange County Chamber Business Wise, powered by WTBQ. This is Barbara Martinez, Director of Communications for the Orange County Chamber of Commerce, and I am so happy to be here. It's Friday. For some people, it's going to be a long weekend. I guess Monday, Veterans Day, everyone will be off. I will be working, but that's okay, because we have a lot of things coming up for the Chamber of Commerce that I want to make sure that you learn about and you join us as often as you can, because that is the best way to network and connect with all the members with the Orange County Chamber of Commerce. I want to start with a couple of things. First of all, I'm going to introduce really quick who I have on here with me. My guest today is Dr. Syed Kashif Mahmood from Crystal Run Healthcare. He is an interventional gastroenterologist. Say hello.
Hi there.
But before I let him talk, I'm going to take care of some chamber business. So if you guys get your questions together, because we're going to be talking about preventative care, such as colon cancer screening. So first, I want to say if you missed our breakfast yesterday, it was amazing. I think we had about 175 people. It was a packed house at the beautiful West Hills Country Club in the town of Walk Hill. Our speaker was Megan Taylor from Mid-Hudson Regional Director for the Empire State Development. And it was very informational. She did an overview of our regional and local projects that will impact your business and Orange County. And she also announced some of the upcoming projects. But if you missed it, well, you got to keep, you know, connected with the chamber and come to our breakfast to learn about what's going on, because the Chamber of Commerce and Orange County is growing and we want you to grow with us. I want to say special thank you to Hudson Valley Federal Credit Union for being the proud sponsor of that breakfast. And speaking of breakfast, make sure that you mark your calendar, because December's breakfast is going to be even more amazing. And that is because we are going to have our county executive, Stephen Newhouse. He is going to be there with us. And it's also featuring Amanda Dana, who is the Orange County's Director of Tourism. So if you want to join us for December breakfast, the State of the County address by the county executive, that is going to be December 13th, 7:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. again at the beautiful West Hills Country Club in the town of Walk Hill. I want to say thank you to Access Supports for Living for being a corporate breakfast sponsor, and Gold's Gym of Newburgh and Middletown for being the December breakfast sponsor. The Government Affairs Committee is sponsored by Cornerstone Family Healthcare. Orange County is growing. Hear more from the County Executive's Office and the Director of Tourism about what is up to come in 2019. So make sure you register. orangeny.com. You better register early, because I guarantee that if we packed a house in November for Megan Taylor at 175, we are definitely going to pack the house for these two people. So join us. Go on orangeny.com to register for our December breakfast. Guys, I have been talking about a lot of our marketing university, and I want to let you know that our next breakout session is going to be Tuesday, November 13th. So while most of you are off on Monday taking a break, I will be on Monday setting up everything for our second seminar, Social Media. That's going to be presented by Bethany London from BBG&G. This is an initiative that was taken on by the Marketing Committee of the Orange County Chamber of Commerce. And this is our second breakout session, but it's the third seminar that we're doing under Marketing University. It is a 12-month series. You've already missed September and October. Do not miss November. Social media is huge. And we want to make sure that as a business, a small business or a not-for-profit, you're actually using social media in order to benefit your business or organization. So if you want to join us for Marketing University, make sure that you send me an email at barbaram@orangeny.com. You can register at orangeny.com for social media. Or if you do walk in that morning, that's fine. We'll have extra binders, so don't you worry. We just want you to not miss social media. And keep in mind that we are going to be doing this for another 8 months. So the next one, just mark your calendar. If you can't make it to social media, which is once again on November 13th from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., then you can join us in December, December 11th. We are going to be doing digital reputation and monitoring, use and maintenance of digital platforms. Our speaker is going to be Nikki Jones from Nikki Jones's agency. Then we're going to kick off the new year. The topic is going to be networking, doing it in person and online. Our speaker is going to be James Danella from Media Vision Advertising. Mark your calendars. That's going to be January 15th, 2019, from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. So if I'm going to put this out, we are looking for an official sponsor for the Marketing University. So if you are a chamber member and you want to sponsor this event, that means that you will be promoted throughout all the sessions. You will have time to stand in front of the students and talk about your business or organization, and you will be included in all of our promo and as well on all the radio program that we do, because we will continuously mention that you are a proud official sponsor of the Marketing University. If you want to do that, send me an email at barbaram@orangeny.com, and we can talk about sponsorship packages for the Marketing University. Another thing that I think is very important that I talk to you about, I sent out an email last Friday about our 2019 membership directory guide. Make sure that if you are a member, that your information is up to date, because our new guide will be coming out next year. I'm hoping to have it ready for the snowball. I'll talk more about the snowball in a minute. So if you are a member and you do have yourself listed in our directory, look it over, make sure everything is up to date. And if it isn't, send me an email and I'll make sure that we update the directory information that's on there. Another thing that you should consider is making sure that your ad is up to date, or that you include an ad. So if you want to take out an ad, this is the best way to make another impact to all the businesses that are viewing this directory, because the reality is that this directory is mailed directly to all of our members. It goes to all of our mixers, to all of our events, at every breakfast. We give it to every single new member that joins up. This directory makes its way all over Orange County, and I think beyond as well. It is our Bible. We use it. Everybody uses it as a reference point. So if you want to make sure that yours is the one that pops within all the ones that are in there, make sure you take out an ad, and you can do that by also sending me an email at barbaram@orangeny.com. As an added bonus, I want to tell you, I am running a photo contest. So last year, Greg Miller from CMIT, he submitted the winning picture for the cover for the 2018 directory is the Mudna Viaduct. It's a beautiful picture of the trellis. And we put it on our Facebook. We put it on our website. We put it on our cover, our directory. And anything that I send out, I use this as a backdrop. That could be your picture for 2019. It will be used throughout the entire year. There are some rules. You have to be a current member of the Orange County Chamber of Commerce. The photo must be owned by you or your business. The photo must be high resolution. A scenery shot is great, but we want you to capture something iconic, something that anyone that looks at it can say, oh, yep, I know exactly where that is in Orange County. So that's identifiable. Send as many shots as you like. So don't worry if you send me one and then you find something yet more beautiful and you want to send it to another one, you can go right ahead and do that. And make sure you identify the location and give it a title, because that gives it makes it personal. We will pick 5 winners. All 5 will be recognized in our Facebook and Instagram, and they will be listed in our website. But the number 1 winner, the top winner, will actually get his picture or her picture on the cover of our 2019 membership directory. So if you are interested in doing that, you have until November 30th. You have until November 30th to update your information, November 30th to submit an ad if you want one, and November 30th to give me your picture. Because like I said, I want to try to get this to everyone by the snowball. And speaking of the snowball, save the date. That's January 26, 2019. It is the first and best networking event of the year, and we'll continue talking about that so that you can join us. But for now, we're going to take a little break. When we get back, we got Crystal Run Healthcare waiting. So you listen to Orange County Chamber Business Wise. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We got a new neighbor.
Yeah, really friendly and welcoming. They helped me hitch my new trailer.
Can't wait to meet them. What's their last name?
Supply.
Wait, what?
There's a new Tractor Supply store in the neighborhood, and we're having a grand opening sale. 10% off everything for life out here. Pet supplies, lawn and garden supplies, power equipment, workwear, and footwear. Even purchase online and pick it up right here and earn rewards with our Neighbors Club Rewards program. So don't think of us as just a store. Think of us as your neighbor, a neighbor who has everything you need for life out here. Tractor Supply. Exclusions may apply. See store for details.
Celebrate the grand opening of Tractor Supply Company in West Milford at 1926 Union Valley Road, Thursday, November 8th through Sunday, November the 11th, and save 10% store-wide. While you're there, register to win Tractor Supply gift cards, and the first 800 customers take home a free hat. Tractor Supply, opening at 1926 Union Valley Road in West Milford, New Jersey. Everything you need for life out here.
This week, you'll find great deals at Walgreens. Like Dunkin' Donuts coffee, 12-ounce ground, just $4.99 with card. And how about 12 rolls of Scott 1000 bath tissue? Now just $5.99 with card. Get great deals on the essentials you need right here at your neighborhood Walgreens. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. While supplies last, restrictions and exclusions apply. See store for details.
The Community Foundation of Orange and Sullivan invites you to their Commitment to Community annual event on Wednesday, November 14th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Anthony's Pier 9 in New Windsor. Join the Community Foundation for an evening of hors d'oeuvres, food stations, cocktails, and desserts as they honor their volunteers, philanthropists, and friends who have impacted the lives of many. Visit CFOSNY.org for more information and reservations. Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop features a combination of new, used, and rare books, plus other fascinating collectibles and curiosities. Located in the historic village of Warwick, Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop is designed in the fashion of an old Victorian bookshop, complete with brass lighting fixtures and green shades, stained bookshelves, and beam ceilings. You can actually see, feel, smell, and savor every volume. Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop proudly features local authors and frequently hosts book signing events for their latest creations. This is the place where a reader, an author, and a book meet and a magical journey begins. Looking for a gift? There's everything from mysteries, fiction, nonfiction, biographies, children's stories, to books on any hobby or sport. You'll find a treasure on every shelf. Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop, 31 Main Street in the heart of Warwick. Online at yeoldwarwickbookshop.com.
If you missed the Frank Truett Show, here's what you missed.
Hey, what a great voice. Remember Al Green?
Oh, yeah. What a gorgeous. You saw him before he passed, didn't you?
Well, I didn't see him, and he didn't pass, so those are...
Wrong singer.
Wrong singer, but I'll tell you Oops. What.
The Frank Truett Show, weekday mornings till 9 on WTBQ.
WTBQ.
And we're back, everyone. Thank you for staying with us here on Orange County Chamber Business Wise, powered by WTBQ. You notice how that music just made me slow down? This is Barbara Martinez, Director of Communications for the Orange County Chamber of Commerce. And if you're just joining us, you just missed a lot of information about the member events coming up for the Orange County Chamber of Commerce. One that I want to highlight once again is the State of the County that's going to happen for our December breakfast. So make sure you go on to our website at orangeny.com to register, to be there, to listen to our speakers, County Executive Steve Newhouse and the Orange County Director of Tourism, Amanda Dana. You do not want to miss that breakfast with the Orange County Chamber of Commerce. So I want to say thank you to everyone that's staying with us here. I want to remind you that we are live, so you can listen to us at 93.5 FM, 1110 AM, or WTBQ.com, where you can stream us worldwide. And if you have a question, You can give us a call at 845-651-1110. And so I just want to do a little disclaimer here. We do have a doctor from Crystal Run Healthcare, but just remember that this is all informational. If you do have questions for your doctor, that's who you should be going to visit after this informational session. So once again, everyone, I have the pleasure of sitting here with Dr. Saeed Kashif Mahmood, interventional gastroenterologist for Crystal Run Healthcare. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me, Barbara.
So I know that it was very important for you to say interventional, and there's a big reason for that.
That's correct, yes. The field of gastroenterology has really grown over the last 10 to 20 years. It's in both in terms of the available technologies that we have available to us as gastroenterologists, and in terms of the diagnostic tools that we have at our disposal. As a result of that, beyond general gastroenterology, there have been subspecialties, and one of them happens to be interventional gastroenterology. And so that involves use of endoscopic resection techniques and advanced endoscopic tools to be able to remove advanced lesions.
Which is good for people to know because, you know, I guess the field started wide or broad. And then as you learn more about the different functions of the body and the colon and all that, you say, okay, well, there are ways to prevent it.
That's correct.
And so we want to then educate people to prevent anything from happening.
That's correct. You got it right. Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about, first, before we get deep into the colon here, let's talk about you.
Okay.
How long have you been a doctor?
I have now been a doctor starting from my training and so forth for about 15 years.
15 years.
That's, you know, over the period when I started medical school, mm-hmm. 7 years of post-medical school training. I got myself a public health degree along the way. It's been quite a journey.
And did you know you wanted to be a doctor always?
No, I did not.
What were you going to be?
I started off thinking I was going to be a chef.
That's.
And then I realized I had a natural aptitude towards biology.
Oh, okay.
And I started, sort of learning more and realized that, you know, that was something that I was naturally progressing towards in terms of my academics. And I said, you know, that's something I want to do. And then there were events that happened along the way and personal experiences which made me realize that, you know, this is a field that really gives me the kind of fulfillment from a professional career that I would be looking forward to. Mm-hmm.
So you say you have a natural ease with biology, right? So mm-hmm. when I was in college, I said I had to take a math or a science. So I said, you know, I'm going to do biology. How hard can it be? Holy moly, that is, I had to join a study group.
Right.
So I did not have that natural fit
right.
for biology. So you said, did you think to yourself you would be a gastroenterologist, or were you probably thinking another part of the body?
No, you know, I along the way, I realized I decided that I would sort of venture towards the areas that interested me the most.
Mm-hmm.
And so in medical school, the part of the body that interested me the most was the gastrointestinal tract. And then that eventually led me to internal medicine and gastroenterology. And then along the course of my training, I realized I liked high-risk interventional procedures, and that led me to becoming an interventional gastroenterologist.
That's amazing. So, you know, I'm sure you have a school of wannabe doctors in the beginning. So you guys are kind of hanging out and you're divvying up parts of the body. Well, I'm going to cover the heart. Yeah, I'll take care of that. So it's, have you heard any other doctor say, why did you pick that?
Well, I think that in medical school, you realize mm-hmm. that everybody's different.
Yeah.
Everybody has a different aptitude. And some people will naturally excel in certain fields. And I think the system has, over the last couple of decades, allowed you sort of pick choices which would help you become the best possible doctor you can.
Okay.
And I think that has led to physicians choosing different subspecialties.
Would you say, as someone who's maybe a pre-med or someone listening right now, thinking about, maybe in college, thinking about becoming a doctor, would you say, yeah, this is the way to go, this has been very fulfilling, and is exactly what you should explore if you're on the fence?
I would say that for me personally, medicine has been extremely fulfilling. Mm-hmm. And I really, looking back now, would not change anything in terms of my decisions for a career path. Having said that, it's a long journey.
Yes.
A significant, significant investment of both just time and finances. And so I would say that if somebody is really interested in picking medicine, I think it should be a combination of several factors. So that includes a natural aptitude and you know, an understanding of what the investment would be required in terms of the training period. Mm-hmm. And then also a thorough research about other available options and career paths. And then only then should you make a decision about such a big investment of that would take such a long time to do.
I think it's a valuable nugget that you just gave a prospective doctor or someone on the fence to that. So thank you for doing that.
Of course.
So we do have a caller on the line for you.
Oh, great.
Okay. Your name and where you're calling from.
It's Mark from Middletown. Good afternoon, Barbara. Good afternoon, Dr. Syed.
Afternoon.
I had a question about preventing heartburn, gastroesophageal reflux disease. Can you explain what that is and how people can prevent that? Because that's a pretty common thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks a lot. Great question. So heartburn or gastroesophageal reflux disease, to think about it simply, the acid produces, the stomach produces acid. And as the stomach tries to push contents into the intestine, that's part of the digestive process, there are contractions. And sometimes the food pipe, which is the esophagus, where it connects to the stomach, that valve can sometimes become a little bit lax. And so as you think about it, it's pure physics. When the stomach is contracting, trying to push that food forward, and the valve that's supposed to be closing up on top is not closed all the way, those acid contents can shoot up back into the esophagus, and that really is heartburn. In terms of prevention, there are several lifestyle modifications that one can make, which might prevent the sensation of heartburn or reduce it. Those include minimizing spicy, oily, fried foods, in some cases, sleeping in a somewhat of a reclined position with maybe a pillow or two under the head, and avoiding tobacco, because tobacco has been shown to be a risk factor. At the end of the day, if none of these lifestyle modifications work, then medications are available.
What about caffeine? Should people avoid caffeine as one of the things that would cause excessive acid?
That's correct, yes. So that would still fall under the umbrella of lifestyle modifications. And yes, carbonated beverages, caffeine and so forth should be reduced. You know, whenever I have somebody coming to see me in clinic and they have heartburn and they say, "Doctor, I love caffeine," I don't tell them to stop it completely. I tell them, you know, see if we can cut back a little bit, because that can also have a significant impact and significant benefit.
Thank you so much, Mark, for those questions.
All right. Take care.
You
have
too.
A good weekend.
You too. Have a nice weekend. Bye-bye. Doctor, I'm told that we have another caller.
All right.
You ready?
Yes.
Your name and where you're calling from.
Hello.
Hello. Your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, how you doing? This is Bill. I live in Warwick.
Thank you, Bill.
I was listening to how you're talking about the acid reflux disease. I currently take a medication, omeprazole. It's 20 milligrams. And when I started taking this, I was with another doctor, and she says that you can't be on this forever, and she mentioned certain side effects. She didn't get really specific. I've changed doctors because of insurance reasons and whatnot, and now this doctor, he wasn't so sure about the side effects or anything like that. What do you think? Are there any side effects for taking this medication on a long-term basis?
That's a great question. Thanks so much for asking it. So omeprazole is one of the cornerstone medications for preventing and treating acid reflux. Having said that, there over the last 5 years specifically, there have been some very large-scale population-based studies which have shown that omeprazole long-term, not short-term, but long-term have been linked with certain side effects, which include bone mineral loss, a certain risk for certain kinds of infection, and so forth. Having said that, I want to throw a little caveat out there because I think it's important for people to understand. These population-based studies are talking about an association, but not necessarily causality, which means that, yes, in large-scale population studies, there is some suggestion that omeprazole may cause this on a long-term basis, but the direct link with omeprazole causing the side effect has not been identified. Now, let's take a step back. Even aspirin has side effects. And ultimately, one has to weigh the risk and benefit ratio. For acid reflux, if not controlled properly, can lead to changes in the surface lining of the lower end of the food pipe, which can have significant downstream harm. And so omeprazole is very effective in preventing those things. And so I would say that, you know, everything has to be considered in terms of risk-benefit. I think these side effects cannot be ignored long-term. And so if you are being advised long-term medications, then continue to have that discussion about the risk-benefit ratio. But omeprazole continues to be a very important medication.
Thank you so much for that call.
Thank you.
Thank you. Everybody, I'm going to take a little break. And when we get back, we're going to get into colon cancer screening. You're listening to Orange County Chamber Business Wise. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For 30 years, Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties has been your leading community resource for providing patients and families with compassionate physical, emotional, and spiritual end-of-life care with comfort, dignity, and respect. Many times we hear from our families that they wish they had called hospice sooner. We take the burden off the family from medical forms to medications. Hospice is covered by Medicare, Medicaid, and most private insurances. So call Hospice today at 561-6111 or go to hospiceoforange.com.
Having difficulty sleeping with a dip in the bed is the reason so many people shop Mills Paw Furniture to switch to our supportive and pressure-relieving mattresses. And we accommodate them once we determine that they're not talking about their spouse, but a sag in their mattress. At Mills Paw Furniture of Walden, Warwick, and Poughkeepsie, we'll professionally fit you for your best pillow, then let you feel the support and comfort of our traditional two-sided mattress sets and our lifestyle adjustable mattresses. Have you been throwing money away on mattresses that just aren't comfortable, or where you end up in a dip in the bed that you just can't escape from? Invest a dollar or two a day in mattresses that are uniquely different than any you have seen around and experience tranquil sleep again. Don't guess from a computer screen how your furniture and mattress will feel. For the past 160 years, we have been your store for non-line shopping. So leave the screen behind and visit us in person, where we can fit you for the comfort and support you need. Mills Paw, since 1858.
The Warwick Valley Chamber of Commerce invites you to join them for their 79th anniversary celebration for an enchanted evening of the magic of Warwick on Saturday, November 17th. The fun begins at 6 p.m. with appetizers and a cocktail hour, followed by a delectable buffet and cash bar at the Hickory Hills Golf Course at 25 Country Lane in Warwick. You'll be amazed at the transformation of Hickory Hills into a nightclub, while being entertained by world-renowned magician Rocco Solano. Magic is the key word. Magic of the evening. Magic of the Warwick Valley Chamber of Commerce. And the magic of bringing everyone together for a night of fun and fabulous food. Tickets are $85 per person. And please invite your family and friends to revel in the magical moments of the evening. Reservations are required as seating is limited. Please RSVP on or before Friday, November 9th. To purchase tickets, visit warwickcc.org or call 845-986-2720.
This is Chris Molinelli, Executive Director of Honor. Honor has been providing hope through hospitality since 1974. Our services include temporary housing, clothing, food, and a safe environment, along with a 20-bed inpatient rehab facility, all with dignity while teaching self-esteem. Honor also offers runaway and homeless teens a safe place called a friend's house, providing the necessities so they can begin their life. So if you or someone you know are in need, please visit honorhelpingothers.org for more information and let us help.
Hi, this is Tom Lovelace. Join me and my guests every Saturday morning, 9 a.m., for the Lovelace Music Experience. Exciting interviews and great music from every genre, right here on WTBQ, playing the best music.
WTBQ weather.
Scattered rain showers continue this afternoon. Our high temperature in the middle 40s. We are expecting rain to turn steadier with heavy rain developing during the evening hours. Watching for some flooding issues as well. But the rain will eventually depart later tonight. Our lows in the upper 30s. On Saturday, we're expecting a mix of sun and clouds. A breezy day. Can't rule out a spotty afternoon shower or sprinkle. High in the low to middle 40s. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm WeatherWorks meteorologist Nathan Wiles.
WTBQ.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you for staying with us here on Orange County Chamber Business Wise, powered by WTBQ. This is Barbara Martinez, Director of Communications for the Orange County Chamber of Commerce, and we still have a lot to talk about. So I just want to jump right in it. If you're just joining us, I am with Dr. Syed Kashif Mahmood. He is an interventional gastroenterologist, and we had a couple callers before. The earlier segment asked some really great questions, but we want to get into colon cancer screening. So let's start with what that is.
Sure, yeah. Barbara, this is such a great topic to be talking about and increasing awareness. I'm very happy to be talking about it. The reason it's important is because colon cancer is one of the top three diagnosed cancers worldwide, so, and for both men and women. So women, it's colorectal cancer, breast cancer, and lung cancer. For men worldwide, it's prostate cancer, lung cancer, and colorectal cancer. The lifetime risk in Northern America for colorectal cancer, lifetime risk is 5%. And let me explain that a little further. So 100 people, lifetime incidence, five of those people have population-based studies have shown will be diagnosed with colorectal cancer. So it's a big problem that's not going to go away. And as a result of this data, the U.S. Multi-Society Task Force has identified screening for colorectal cancer as an important tool to prevent cancer-related deaths. And so increasing awareness, letting people know that this is a significant issue and they should undergo screening, appropriate screening, is very important.
So tell us a little bit about the colonoscopy. Mm-hmm. What a lot of times people, this is the type of topic or the kind of body part nobody really wants to talk about. Mm-hmm. They want to kind of keep it in the dark. They go through their routine and they don't want to discuss it ever. But it's important to know, or for someone that's going to have the screening, what to expect when they're going for a colonoscopy.
Absolutely, yep. And so screening for colorectal cancer is broadly divided into three different categories. The first sort of group of tests are stool-based tests. Mm-hmm. The second group is colonoscopy, and I'm going to talk about that. And the third group is radiology. And so there we have something called virtual colonoscopy or CT colonography. Colonoscopy is essentially an exam performed by a gastroenterologist such as myself, which involves the introduction of a camera, a long tube with a camera on it, fiber optic, into the colon and rectum, advancing it to right to the proximal end, which is basically where the colon connects to the small bowel, mm-hmm. and then slowly withdrawing the camera, making sure and very carefully examining the walls of the colon and looking for growths, which are usually known as polyps, and removing them if necessary. And that's really what a colonoscopy is.
What can someone expect when they're preparing themselves for this?
Right, right. So the general recommendation is to be on a clear liquid diet the day prior to the colonoscopy. Now, when you have the camera in the colon, then it's really important to get a look at the wall of the colon. And so if you can imagine, it needs to be really cleaned out. Mm-hmm. And so there cannot be digestive material or stool in the colon. So for that, there is a drink that's mm-hmm. it's a medicine, which is essentially in the form of a fluid, which is taken the day prior. Mm-hmm. And that washes out the colon and allows the gastroenterologist to get a good exam.
Tell me, there was at one point a trend where people were going to get colon cleansing. Is that something that you recommend?
There has been no data to suggest that has any benefit whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And so from my standpoint and just, basing it on current guidelines and data, I do not recommend it to patients. However, I do acknowledge there are lots of things that we just don't know.
Okay. All right. So let's go back to now. When should people screen? Is there an age group? Is there a certain, group of people that should be? When should you screen for that?
Yep, absolutely. So the two commonest risk factors that we look at for colon cancer mm-hmm. are age and family history. Specifically for average risk individuals, the current guidelines suggest that the screening age for colon cancer via whatever screening tool you decide to use, including colonoscopy, is age 50. That comes from population-based data and whatsoever. However, I do want to point out a couple of caveats. So earlier this year, the American Cancer Society came up with a new guideline and suggested that colon cancer screening should start at the age of 45.
Wow.
That has not made its way through to
the insurance.
Also U.S. Medical Multi-Society Task Force recommendations. I think that's still in the works and eventually we'll get there. And part of the reason we're doing that is because colon cancer is being diagnosed earlier mm-hmm. in younger individuals. And so at this point, it's still 50, but it may become sooner pretty quickly.
So, I mean, you could be expecting that if all the parts that are supposed to move happen, mm-hmm. that it will then, the age will be lowered to 45.
I suspect that's what's going to happen. That's correct.
Okay. So let's say you get to the point where now, so it's at 50.
Yeah.
You're 50 years old. How often should you get screened?
That's another great question. So primarily depends on what happens during that first colonoscopy. And I'll segue a little bit into what a colon polyp is.
Mm-hmm.
So a colon polyp is a small growth that is found, which is not cancer. It's a benign growth, which is found in the colon, which has been established to be a risk factor for turning into colon cancer.
Okay.
And so the colon is unique in the sense that on colonoscopy, we can identify these growths, which are pre-malignant. They're benign, but they're pre-malignant. They could potentially turn into cancer, and we can remove them.
Mm-hmm.
And that will eventually, hence, not turn into cancer. So the decision to recommend the next screening colonoscopy depends on how many polyps,
mm-hmm.
what size, and what's the pathology when the polyp is analyzed under a microscope. In addition to that, we also take into account what the family history of colon cancer is, mm-hmm. if any.
Okay. Is there any symptoms that people can either experience or should be looking out for when it comes to that, or is it symptomless?
Right. So unfortunately, colon cancer, in the vast majority of cases, until it gets more advanced, does not present with any symptoms.
Mm.
However, the one thing I always recommend is that if there is any kind of bleeding in the stool,
okay,
you know, a lot of people attribute blood to be coming from hemorrhoids and so forth, and that is probably true. However, I would be very cautious about making a presumption. If there is blood in the stool, that should be brought to the attention of your physician, and if necessary, a colonoscopy should be performed. Make sure there's nothing else going on.
Wow. So, doctor, I'm told you're a superstar today. We've got another caller. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, your name and where you're calling from?
It's Taylor, calling from my car.
Hello, Taylor.
Here's my question, because this is something I've had a problem with, and I know there are a number of other people who have also. Great show, by the way.
Thank you.
I can't take in that kind of liquid without throwing it up. And I've been told that there's another method now, so you can get the colonoscopy to kind of clean yourself out before, that where you don't have to ingest all that liquid initially. Is that true?
Great question. So one of the barriers to getting a successful colonoscopy, as you just pointed out, is the ingestion of this liquid. Unfortunately, in terms of liquid itself, you know, there's a large volume that's required to be ingested. And some people get nauseous and so forth. So let's talk about what the options are. First of all, in terms of avoiding colonoscopy and thinking about a CT colonoscopy, which is a virtual colonoscopy, does not take away the need to take that liquid. So both of these tests, whether it's a real colonoscopy, and by that I mean a camera exam, or a virtual CT colonoscopy, both require a bowel cleansing fluid. And now, some suggestions in terms of being able to take this medicine, spacing it out, smaller volumes, talking to your doctor about not taking the large 4-liter liquid, but the 2-liter solution, something called a split prep, which is when you take only half the solution the night off, the other half the day off, early morning. But if none of those things work, you know, there are certain stool-based tests that are available for screening. These are done on a yearly exam. They're not as good as colonoscopy, virtual CT colonography, but that's something that you can discuss. And then finally, in very rare cases, if a colonoscopy is absolutely required because you had some other modality or some other testing that suggested that you need a colonoscopy, but you absolutely cannot take that medication, then put in those rare situations, we can hospitalize a patient the day off the colonoscopy and work with them in terms of what other modalities we can use to get that fluid through the bowel.
Okay, well, thank you. That's really important to know, because there's so much information out there that says, oh, there's pills now, there's other ways to do it, but I can see the only other way seems to be having to go into hospital for the day.
Right, and I looked at a lot of data on this in terms of how those pills compare to the fluid, and it just turns out that the pills aren't as great. And so I would have that ongoing discussion with your physician, but there are several other options in terms of getting that exam of your colon.
Thank you so much,
great.
Taylor.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
thank you.
Drive safe. So, doctor, you are a superstar, rock star, three calls. There you go. So I'm not going to jump into the next question because we do have to take a break. When we get back, we have to talk a little bit more about those polyps and their removal and what people can expect for that. You're listening to Orange County Chamber Business Wise. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The real estate market is hot. If you have been thinking of selling your home, now is the time. At Better Homes and Gardens Rand Realty, we pride ourselves on delivering an exceptional client experience. Our professional agents will provide you with the market data you need to price your home properly and follow through with the best marketing to get your home sold. Call our office today at 845-986-4848.
Make any special occasion the memory of a lifetime with music to remember. From Sinatra to Rihanna, choose the local and award-winning DJs from Music Magic. They're experts at driving creative party ideas and games that shape a great time. They even do magic and comedy for every occasion. Give them a call at 845-986-5602 or text them at 914-393-7758. Music Magic is fully insured and provides local references, so give them a call today.
The Orange County Partnership is just that, a partnership between area developers, landowners, commercial real estate professionals, engineers, land use attorneys, construction services, and the Orange County Partnership. The mission is straightforward, to present a strong, unified voice for responsible, profitable development in Orange County. And Orange County has it all, buildings and land from large to small, urban to rural, in just the right location and with possible economic incentives. OCPartnership.org.
Access Supports for Living has a mission, to help people live the healthiest and fullest lives possible. For over 50 years, the Hudson Valley has turned to Access to support our neighbors and friends with intellectual and developmental disabilities and mental health needs. Access also helps families with challenges to make sure kids have the best start at a bright future. Access offers services 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To learn more, visit accesssupports.org. That's accesssupports.org.
This is Zach Crux, sports director for WTBQ. Tune in every weekday morning to the Frank Truatt Morning Show to get the latest news, scores, and info about your favorite teams and players. That's every Monday through Friday on the Frank Truatt Morning Show, right here on WTBQ. WTBQ.
And we're back, everyone. Thank you for staying with us here on Orange County Chamber Business Wise, powered by WTBQ. This is Barbara Martinez, Director of Communications for the Orange County Chamber of Commerce. And I've been hanging out with the very popular Dr. Syed Kashif Mahmood. He is an interventional gastroenterologist for Crystal Run Healthcare. Crystal Run Healthcare is a diamond partner for the Orange County Chamber of Commerce. And every single month, we are featuring a different doctor to talk about your body and your health and keeping you healthy. So guys, he's a superstar. I'm just about give him the show. Doctor, it's going to be yours because I'm told you have another call.
All right.
Your name and where you're calling from.
Barbara, it's Mark again from Middletown. Dr. Syed, I just had one other question.
Of course.
You talked about screenings and so on and so forth. How do people prevent colorectal cancer?
Right. That's actually a great question. So, colorectal cancer is broken down into sporadic colorectal cancer, which means that the general population is at risk for it because that's just unfortunately the nature of the disease. But in addition to that, there are genetic syndromes out there, which comprise of various genetic mutations which predispose patients to certain kinds of colorectal cancer. Having said that, however, there are some identifiable risk factors, and that include smoking, tobacco use, sedentary lifestyle, obesity, a non-vegetarian diet rich in red meat. So all those things have shown some association with increasing the risk of colon cancer. And so lifestyle modifications, trying to minimize or moderate those things, can help.
That's
okay,
a great question.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so
welcome.
Much, Mark. Thank you for
Take
listening
care.
Always. So, doctor, I want to make sure, because there's so much to this topic,
right.
I don't want to be remiss in mentioning a couple of other things that are very important that people might be wondering about. So you mentioned previously colon polyps and their removal. So Tell us a little bit about that process, what people can expect, and what happens when the polyps are larger.
Right, right. And so colon cancer happens to be a spectrum. It starts off with a small benign lesion called a polyp, and that eventually will turn over a period of, experts estimate, over a period of maybe 10 years into colorectal cancer. Mm-hmm. So if a gastroenterologist is able to remove that polyp, that lesion is gone, then there's no risk in that lesion or that segment that was removed to turn into colorectal cancer.
Okay.
Unfortunately, some polyps can get very large depending on when a patient is screened.
Mm-hmm.
And that speaks to the advances in therapeutic endoscopy, advanced endoscopy, interventional gastroenterology. The colonoscopes that we use now have very high definition white light, and we're able to make out patterns and changes in architecture on the surface of the colon.
Mm-hmm.
That can help identify small polyps, flat polyps, polyps that would have otherwise been missed maybe 5 years ago or 10 years ago even. There is now availability on these scopes for different kinds of lights that includes narrow band imaging.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the diagnostic part of it. And I'd like to add also that specifically in rectal cancer, we have now the ability to do echo endoscopy, which means have an ultrasound probe at the end of the scope and be able to see wall layers and get more information.
Wow.
Yeah. And beyond that, in terms
very
of...
Very sci-fi.
Yeah.
It reminds me of The Covenant. I don't know if you've seen that.
Right.
The Covenant, where they throw up the balls and they scan the ship, the inside of the ship.
Oh, yes, yes,
remember
yes.
that?
Yep,
yeah.
yep. And in
that's
term-
my thought.
Yeah. In terms of removal, also we've made significant advances. Earlier, beyond a few centimeters, polyps could not be removed, and those patients would need to undergo surgery.
Mm.
That has changed. Our tools have, the available tools have become more sort of finessed, and now we have advanced techniques where we can remove very advanced polyps,
mm-hmm.
and not just in size, but also in their pathological levels, and be able to have patients avoid surgery.
Right. So here's the thing. We've covered a lot of ground with this, but the main thing that we want people to take away, and one of the things that you had mentioned, is the intervention part of it. There are things that you can do or steps that you should take in order to not get to the point where those polyps are huge.
That's correct. So I think if I were to have somebody take away anything from this talk, it would be one, that colorectal cancer is, the risk for colorectal cancer is real. However, there is screening and available tools for removing polyps, which could really save lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that getting screened on time is critical. And then finally, maintaining a healthy lifestyle to decrease any extra risk of colorectal cancer is important.
It is important. So, the point that people should probably take away too is don't be afraid to talk to your doctor about it. You should ask the questions. The doctors are expecting you to, if you have questions, concerns. I don't want to call it like an icebreaker question, but is there a question that you think may be easier for the patient to, for the first time, to start the conversation with the doctor that you would recommend?
Absolutely. So I think that just talking to your physician, your primary care doctor, about screening in general,
mm-hmm.
I think would be a great segue. There are a few screen tests out there. One of them happens to be colonoscopy. Your primary care doctor is going to offer that to you when you're at age 50.
Mm-hmm.
But starting that discussion. But in addition to that, your primary care doctor does routine blood work on you, talking about if there's any anemia and so forth, what the anemia or low blood counts may mean. And those sort of questions can be a great starting point.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about it, you get a new vehicle and you get the book and it tells you at 10,000 miles you should do this, at 20,000 miles you should do this. And it goes through a laundry list of little items that you should check in your vehicle. Your body is pretty much a very complicated, beautiful machine. And
that's
it's
correct.
Got, it. You know, there's times in life when there are certain things that you should be going down this list of items and saying, okay, I got this done.
I totally agree.
So the colonoscopy, getting the screening as early as possible, not waiting until you think, that to the doctor's telling you got to do it. It's one of those things that if you know at 50, it should be done. Is it the same age for men and women? 50?
It is the same age for men and women. That's correct. And the things that change it will include a certain amount of risk.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody has any family relatives that might have had colon cancer at an earlier age, that may change things around. And I'd like to also add here at this point that, a lot of people might think that a colonoscopy is a procedure and that would be a risky procedure. A screening colonoscopy for the average risk individual is a very low risk procedure.
Mm-hmm.
Gastroenterologists do thousands of these in the course of a year. But, you know, it is a decision that everyone has to make for their health. And I would highly advise getting the screening colonoscopy done on time.
So let's say, doctor, someone says, you know, I really like the way Dr. Mahmood rocked that radio show, and I want to go see him. Where do they find you? Where are you centrally? Where are you usually located for Crystal Run Healthcare?
Yep. So I located in Middletown, right here in Middletown, 95 Crystal Run. And there is a very large team of very able office individuals who can help getting somebody in, and mm-hmm. I'm happy to see anybody.
95 Crystal Run is the big building on Crystal Run Road that has, like, it's like one-stop shopping for doctors. You walk in, right. And you go level one for this and level two for another. So, doctor, I'm going to give you the show because I'm told now you've got another call. You ready?
All right.
Your name and where you're calling from.
Susan from Warwick.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Susan.
I just wondered if there was an age limit, if there was any risk for someone, say, 80 years old for having a colonoscopy.
Great question. So the general recommendation is to offer screening colonoscopies till the age of 75. Some screening guidelines suggest age 80. But my own personal take on that, after reading some of these guidelines, is to offer screening colonoscopy till age 75, and after that, to individualize. And so we can have very healthy 85-year-olds. We can have, you know, people who have a lot of medical problems at age 70. And so that has to be a discussion. After the age of 75, it has to be a discussion about what a colonoscopy could mean in terms of what to do with the findings and whether there's going to be any use in terms of being able to do that and what we're trying to prevent. And so, long story short, after the age of 75, it's going to be a discussion with you and your gastroenterologist.
Thank you so much, Mary.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Bye.
So, doctor, it's a very important topic. I think that is great that you came on today to talk about the intervention and get people talking about it.
Absolutely.
You know, going through their own minds and doing a checklist of the things that they should get done, and getting the screening is very important. So visit your primary care, talked about the different screenings that you should have for your age group and family history, and decide for yourself what you're ready to do, but don't wait until it's too late. Get it done, because it's very important. It's your health that matters. And that is why we do this every single month with a different doctor from Crystal Run Healthcare. I want to remind everyone, Crystal Run Healthcare is a diamond partner for the Orange County Chamber of Commerce. And we enjoy having a doctor come join us every single month. So if you hear this topic today and you say to yourself, you know what, I'd like it if they have this kind of doctor, send me an email at barbaram@orangeny.com. And I'll do my best to reach out to Crystal Run Healthcare and Lynn Haskin and let them know, can we have this doctor, that doctor, and hopefully we can get the answers question your questions answered, because Crystal Run Healthcare wants to keep you healthy. So guys, everyone, if you want to know more about Crystal Run Healthcare, make sure you visit their website at crystalrunhealthcare.com. You can always call for an appointment at 845-703-6999, and it goes through a list of all the different specialties that you may want to explore. But I would say go to the website first, take a look, see what's going on. They are in different areas throughout Orange County. They're not just in Crystal Run. They have offices in Monroe. They're all over the place. So make sure you go onto the website to see if there is a Crystal Run Healthcare near you. But doctor, right, get yourself screened.
Absolutely.
We are here for prevention and keeping you healthy. Doctor, I hope that you'll join me again sometime next year.
Oh, absolutely.
So that we can talk about this again. It's a very important topic. And I know that you cover more than just the colon. You cover a broader, everything with the gastrointestinal.
Well, not quite everything, but we definitely got covered colonoscopy screening, and we also touched on reflux, too.
Yes, you did. It's important stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
So, doctor, thank you so much for hanging. You're a superstar today.
Oh, thanks
so much
for having me, Barbara.
Thank you so much for hanging out with
me
today. Guys, everyone, make sure you save the date, because we have Snowball coming up once again. That is going to be January 26, 2019, at Anthony's Pier 9 in New Windsor. It is the first and best networking event of the year. I want to thank all the sponsors that are slowly signing up to be part of the best event for 2019. Everyone, have a nice weekend. Have a nice long weekend. And we will see you next Friday here on Orange County Chamber Business Wise, powered by WTBQ, radio worth listening to.